It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 336, entitled AI and Fair. It was recorded on Monday the 16th of June, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by three fabulous guests. I'm joined by Remkes de Vries, by Pete Chineri, and Tim Nash. What do we talk about? Well, it's a WordPress podcast, so we talk about a whole range of things, but the absolute dominant subject this week is a new thing. It's called FAIR. It's an acronym, and the idea really is that it will make it possible for you not to use the WordPress.org repo in the future. There's loads of technicality and lots behind this story, so we talk about that for a long time. And also dominating today, we talk about AI and the fact that WordPress now has an AI team. What does that mean? Where will their endeavors go? And what else do we talk about? Well, we talk about WordCamp Europe, and I go off on a bit of a tangent, my trip that I had around WordCamp Europe. We also talk about some plugins. So for example, there is a new plugin called Fluent Cart, which is a bit of a rival to WooCommerce. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Good day, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever it is where you are. This is This Week in WordPress, episode number 336. We've had a couple of weeks off because WordCamp Europe happened, and I decided to go. And basically nothing's happened in the last 2 weeks. No, you know, enormous changes to any part of the WordPress project. So see you later. Have a good week, and we'll see you next time. No, there's quite a lot to talk about this week. And luckily, I'm joined by some intelligent people to talk about it with. Because honestly, if it was a show with just me, what would happen, really? The world would come to an end. Thanks, Remkes. I appreciate the grin. Okay, so who have we got this week? Well, we've got Tim Nash. He's over there. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing all right.
Sound good. You haven't got a bio, I'm afraid. It just says
I do. You just need to refresh.
I did refresh, but somebody's overwritten it in the show. Now, I know this happens most weeks that you do it. Elsewhere by any chance?
I do. No.
What time did you add it, Tim? Yeah,
I don't know. Like 10 seconds.
Because I added, I know exactly the same time as me.
If you add it in, I will refresh and then read it out, and I'll come back.
Okay. I will hit the update and wipe out features.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, no. You're going to wipe out.
Don't read mine. It's fine.
Okay, here we go. Right, I see it now. Here we go. Here's Tim's bio. Tim is a professional Doom speaker and security person. He helps organizations plan and survive zombie invasions and other apocalyptic events, as well as more mundane stuff. He's putting together a WordPress security course at, wait for it, WPSecurity101. That's the numerals, .com, WPSecurity101.com. And you can find his various other projects at, God, that's hard to say. Tina Nash, basically, but that's hard to parse.
Oh, okay.
So go and check it out. Firstly, WP Security.
Useful, very short URL.
Yeah, your short URL is brilliant, but yeah,
rubbished instantly by Mr.
I didn't mean
Ripley.
To rubbish it.
You did.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I only wish I had a three-letter domain name. I haven't got anything as exciting as that. That was Peacher down there. She was. She's joining us again. How are you doing, Peacher?
I'm all right, thank you very much, Nathan.
Sporting.
How are you? Has anyone asked you yet?
No, nobody ever asked me, Peacher.
Well, then how are you, Nathan?
No, don't. I'm good. I'm good, thanks. Remkus is going to sort of, you know, remonstrate about that. Yeah, I'm fine. Actually, do you know what? If I'm being perfectly honest, I'm not all that good. I feel a little bit under the weather. So what I've bought this time, I'm endorsing the Coca-Cola company this time. Sugar is the only way I'm going to get through this, in all honesty. So there you go. I'm not feeling
there
all that great.
So much that is wrong with that decision, but I'll leave it for now because we're here to talk about
Well,
things.
I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to drink water. That's what I'm going to, and have an apple during the course of this podcast. So that's what I'm going to do. Thank you very much. Anyway, here's Peach's bio. Peach Neri is a UX and accessible design consultant on projects as a course provider, trainer, coach, and workshop leader. She speaks at conferences globally on UX and accessible design. Peach's current main focus is on balancing creativity and accessibility without sacrificing either. There's no URL in there for me to rubbish. Have you got a URL you want to say into the record?
Oh, that is a good point. No, yeah. I didn't. I have several.
Okay.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, no, I do. That. Why don't we use the one that I put later on down with the accessibility limited series accessibility podcast that I'm doing with Michelle.
And you know what's happened?
Yeah,
that is.
Well, that's been overwritten.
Tim might have erased it. That's great.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but your system is a bit.
It is rubbish.
It's a bit rubbish.
Yes, I know.
It's still there, Nathan. It's in the...
Let me click on it. Where does it go to? Open link. So, okay. No, that's a YouTube link that I've got.
It is a YouTube link. So, because you can just sign up to the event. That's the first... It's a nice and non-personal promoting. It's free. And it'll be Michelle and I talking for 10 episodes on accessibility.
I'll tell you what, we'll come back to that when we've done.
Yeah, because I also have a free. Yeah, anyway, sorry. Let's.
Wait, sorry.
Shut up. Sorry. I'm all over the place.
I haven't got a URL for Peacher, but Remkus, on the other hand, I'm sure he's got a URL at the ready. Have you?
remk.us.
Yeah, that's nice and easy. We'll go with that. remk. That's actually very cool. That's almost as good as Tim's one. I want nap.an, but I don't know if. .an is a domain that you can actually borrow. If it ever
becomes
available, I'll have that. Or .ey, I could go for Wrigley, wouldn't I? wrig.l.ey. Anyway, who is Remkus? Remkus, he said, scrolling quickly to his bio. Remkus de Vries is a WordPress performance specialist focused on speed, security, and scalability. As the co-founder of Scanfully, he helps site owners stay ahead of performance and security issues. He also runs the Within WordPress, which is a newsletter and podcast for those passionate about building better WordPress sites. And he shares insights on YouTube. It's not a bad podcast, in all honesty. There are definitely better ones. This is not it. What's the robe that you got here? Usually there's a Scanfully t-shirt, but today you got Rogue.
Yeah. What Rogue is?
No, I just wondered if it was your thing.
No. Oh, I wish.
Oh. Is it a band?
No. It's an athletic wear and gear type of company.
And you lost me at the word athletic, I'm afraid.
Mostly strength training, so I get it.
Yeah, I have no strength. I would say that non-strength is the amount that I have. Let's go to the comments and see who we got. So we have Ryan. Hello, Ryan. He's coming in from Charlotte in North Carolina. He says hi. Paul Halfpenny in the UK is joining us. Hello. Andre, I'm guessing. Hello. I don't know that we've met. Hello, Andre. Nice to have you with us. And then there's a few from the people on the call. And then we've got Courtney, who is drinking many coffees by the looks of it. Elliot Sowersby, just down the road in Bridlington. Elliot, on Tuesday, I went to Sowerby Hall. This will mean nothing to anybody else. But Elliot, it was very enjoyable. I went to see the emus at Sowerby Hall. It was fabulous. Patricia says hello, everybody. That's nice. Jackson's joining us. Hello, ciao, he says. Who's this one? That's John. John Overall. Morning from the west coast of Canada, where it's a clear, warm day. And Mark Westgard is also joining us. Needs collaborative publishing. He does.
How, okay, quick question. How young is Mark in that picture? 21, 22?
No, I'd say about 9. He grew up very quickly. He hit puberty.
That's false advertising right there.
Yeah, that is false. I'll show you some pictures of him in a minute. Appalling, frankly. Hold tight for the Mark Westgard section. It will knock your socks off. We're also, I'm serious. We're also joined by Aaron Bowie. No, keep him on. Nobody needs to see that. If you're all well, says Aaron. We are indeed. Yeah, there's about 10 pictures coming. Leo Mindell, what the heck? He's back. That's very nice to have you around. That's lovely. And hello, says Mark. School run shortly, but I'm here for a few minutes. Yeah, you can watch it on catch up or replay or whatever they call it these days. Nice to have you all with us. I appreciate it. Honestly, this whole show is way better. Firstly, when I'm not on it. But secondly, when you put a load of comments in, it really does liven the whole thing up. And so if you want to do that, if you feel like sort of adding commentary like those fine people did, go here. wpbuilds.com/live. It's being featured by Peacher there, look. And you've got two choices. You can either go to the little panel on the right that's embedded YouTube comments, so you need to be logged into Google, which most people seem to do. But if you don't fancy that, you can click the little button in the top right of the player. It says live chat or something, and you don't need to be logged into anything in order to do that. Okay, righty tighty. Let's go for the bits and pieces that we've got today. So I would normally start with the WordPressy stuff, but we're gonna change up a little bit. We started this a few weeks ago. I'm going to give the panelists an opportunity just to mention any bits and pieces that they want. So, you know, plug-in, theme, whatever the heck you've got that you want to mention, a course, whatever it might be. But I'm going to limit it to 1 minute. I had this idea of putting a really annoying countdown-style clock on, but I thought that was just a bit over the top. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to trust that you can count to 60 in your head whilst doing it. So, Tim, can we start with you? Have you got anything you want to share?
Hang on. Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, you've wasted 4 seconds already. Oh, yeah. Honestly.
I am running a WordPress security course. I have been editing it for weeks now, it's running a little bit behind schedule for various bits and pieces, but you can still sign up on the mailing list at apsecurity101.com. And when it launches, you will be the first ones to know if you're on the mailing list. And if you come on the show, whenever the next time I'm on, I will be shouting a lot about it as well. But nice. apsecurity101.com, sign up to the mailing list. It's where you first hear about it. And there's also going to be like all the usual discounts and stuff.
Okay. Again, that's only in the UK. Nobody gets that apart from us.
Add a mysterious age.
Anyway, there you go. WP Security 101. Sign up for Tim's course. Right, let's go clockwise, which means Remkes. He's over there, not over there. Have you got anything you want to mention?
remk.us/courses.
Okay. k.us/courses. It's going to take me way longer to write it out than I thought. You were going to just keep going there, but no, and I can't spell courses. Right, here we go. This is exciting. There you go, remkes.courses. What's there? Just quickly, go on.
This is very long in the making, but I am gearing up to release WordPress-related courses.
And really?
Yes.
Okay, you definitely have. I don't think you've mentioned that before, so you've kept it.
No. It's been on my site for over a year, because it's very hard to prioritize when other work keeps asking for a lot of priority. But I'm starting to, I think for there's 5 defined, and I think I am at, let's say, at roughly 60% for all of them. And I'll start prioritizing. And the working title is Make WordPress Fast, but...
Right. Okay.
That's the first one I'll launch. And it's not your typical optimize your images, optimize your CSS files, and load them in the right sequence. It's taking you through 25 modules of where you'll be explained every single layer that has an impact on performance.
Nice. Nice. So totally leaning into your wheelhouse. That's brilliant.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's say that out loud, because honestly, most people don't watch this on YouTube. Most people listen on the podcast. So that's, joking aside, remk.us/courses. Yes. Not quite ready, but you can. Is there a wait list or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a button that says, let me know when there's more information. After the summer, things are going to start getting released.
I can confirm if you press the button, it takes you to a form which you can fill in and even select which one of these courses you want to get more information about.
I thought it all through. You
thank you,
these,
Tim.
These courses, honestly, they don't write themselves. I think both you and Tim know the pain of actually writing courses and being sure the same.
It's a challenge because, I said, you always have a bigger priority, and this is something that's an aside that's supposed to be an integral part of what I do. And I've known I wanted to do this for a very long time. Like I said, priorities.
Don't you also just get that halfway through, you just suddenly figure out there were a bunch of things that you ought to have covered that you forgot to cover, kind of itis?
So this is how I went from 16, 17 modules to 25.
There you go.
Because every single time you have like a chunk, you go like, yeah, but this is actually, you need to understand the chunk. And then the other chunks start making more sense. So why don't I go deep on this chunk? Wait, this chunk is actually two chunks because you first need to understand this layer before you can get to that layer.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. And you know, that's how you end up with a lot of modules. But them concurrently defined are really, from not understanding to maybe semi-advanced to whatever level, I'll guide you through the whole thing.
Nice.
Like Tim will say, for security, you can't do security half. You need to do it fully. The same thing for performance. You can't do it half. Optimizing images, yay, great. But that's not really performance. That's optimizing.
Okay, so once more, remk.us/courses. Go and check that out. Oh, that's very exciting. So all of us on this panel, except me, I mean, all the guests, that is, they've got courses and things like that going on. So let's flip over to you, Peter. What's your current thing that you want to mention? If you say a URL right at the top, I'll stick it on the screen.
Do, because, I mean, this URL is actually not that easy to remember because it's simply that YouTube link. Michelle Frochette and I'm going to put it in the guest chat, or maybe I should have put it in a live chat. Michelle Frochette.
Yeah, put it in the live chat. That would be probably better.
Hang on. So I have to go onto YouTube, which I have here.
Oh, that is going to be difficult.
There you go.
What the heck? I'll put it in the chat and let's see what the heck it makes of this.
Serious.
There you go. Trying to remember
I know, but that's what I've got. What can I say? I could have done that. I haven't done it.
The easiest way,
Peter,
is I will put that into, I'll just put it into a link in the newsletter that goes.
Yes, I'm sorry. I should have done it. I should have planned it better. Anyway,
give us the skinny. What are you doing with it?
Michelle Frochette and I were doing this limited series podcast. So that means that we do, I need to create a short link. Patricia, I know I didn't do it. I can do it, but I haven't done it yet. Maybe Tim is doing it. I can see him. He's busy. I wouldn't be surprised if he was helping me out because he's a very good friend. But anyway, so that's the story. Michelle and I are doing this limited series podcast. It's 10 episodes. Each episode, it's on accessibility, and each episode will cover a certain aspect. I mean, obviously, we won't cover all of it, but we will give people enough to want to do more or learn more. And the first episode is HTML, because that's where it all starts from, isn't it?
Are you doing it more on a, so that kind of gets you out of the cycle of Remkus and Tim, where you've got to do everything all in one go? You're going to release one and then move on and do
We're doing it live. I love live. I'm happy to be here, you know. It's just like something I enjoy very much, so we're doing it live. Because also, as you know, you can cheat a bit if you go live.
Well,
nobody really minds
if
you're not perfect.
In terms of time, aren't you? Okay.
You don't have to script it like this flipping courses and
yeah. Well, anyway, I will link to it in
it's
the show notes.
It's just to create awareness for accessibility. That's why we're doing it.
Okay, thank you. The links will be in the show notes. I'll put that under the community section in the newsletter that comes out tomorrow. So,
right, thank
there
you
we go.
Very much.
There's our panel. Give them all a round of applause, and let's get stuck into the meat and the bones of this actual podcast episode. A little bit of self-promotion first. Apologies about this. I always do this at the beginning. Might as well. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. If you fancy finding out more about what we do, just put your email into there, and we'll send you two emails a week, one when this comes out as an audio podcast tomorrow morning, and then one on Thursday when we do a podcast episode. The most recent podcast episode was actually with Ray. Ray and I talk every sort of 3 months or something like that, and we talked over all the bits and pieces that have been happening. But you can find this on the archive section just here. What else have we got? Oh, actually, no, I apologize, that's not true. I apologize, I forgot about this one, and I thought this could be the first point of discussion. Actually, this is Brad Williams and I talking about his web dev studios. They've launched a plugin, and I know Tim, we talked about this previously, Theme Switcher Pro. So if you haven't come across this before, this is the idea of being able to have multiple themes on one website at one time. So you can go and check that out. Brad and I nattering on about that. Actually, let's not talk about that because we've done that in the past. Let's talk about this. This came out just, it's a little while ago, in all honesty now, but because we haven't done this show for a couple of weeks, it still felt like we ought to cover it. So I don't know when the exact moment was, but at some period in the recent past, last 4 months or something like that, the dispute between WP Engine and Automattic led to Automattic reining in contributions to the project. I think the idea was that they were going to mirror what WP Engine were doing. So if WP Engine were contributing, I don't know, let's say 16 hours a month or a week or whatever it may be, Automattic said that that would be how they that would be how they would proceed. That went on for a period of time, and then 29th of May, not entirely out of the blue, but a little bit out of the blue, this piece dropped, and I don't actually know who wrote it. It just says Automattic. Maybe there's some indication somewhere that I haven't found. And I'll just read it because it kind of makes sense in that way. After pausing our contributions to regroup, rethink, and plan strategically, we're ready to press play again and return fully to the WordPress project. Expect to find our contributions across the greatest hits, WordPress Core, Gutenberg Playground, Openverse, and WordPress.com. This return is a moment of excitement for us. It's about continuing the mission we've always believed in, democratizing publishing for everyone, everywhere. And so I don't know if this means that literally it's a reset, like they're going back to the however many hundreds or possibly thousands of hours it was a month. I don't know if this story's gone anywhere since then, but I just thought it was important to mention it. We've obviously, the automaticians making this decision have obviously decided they're going to put that whole posture of copying the WP Engine contribution in the background and just get back to whatever number it is that they said that they were going to do. Anything to add, anybody on that one before we move on? No, shrug of the shoulders. But it's a bit stale now. I apologize. It's simply because I haven't had the chance to do this podcast for a little while. I guess most people probably knew that anyway. Right. In which case, if nobody's got anything to add, I'll announce this one. Gosh, these are the letters that you cannot escape. And they are I and A, but not in that order. And this is the fact that WordPress has, you know, like every other tech company, has jumped on the bandwagon of AI. But it was kind of like a bit of a, well, there were just bits and pieces happening in the WordPress space, weren't there? Lots of plugins had come out with AI capabilities. But now we have a WordPress AI team. And again, I'll just do a little bit of reading. It's dedicated this team to focusing on accelerating and coordinating artificial intelligence projects across the WordPress ecosystem. It's essential that WordPress remains at the forefront, ensuring innovation happens in the open, guided by community values, built to core standards. I won't read it all, but the idea is to lend a strategic focus, to share innovation, to have a rapid iteration. And I suppose the bit that kind of really matters is who's on the team. I suppose that's the most crucial bit. And a pretty credible bunch of people in my book, as far as I can tell. James LePage, who is the automatician who's leading this team, that's my understanding anyway. We've got Felix Arntz and Pascal Birchler, both from Google. Obviously, Google is a real key player. I don't know what they're involvement in terms of AI is on the Google side. And then Jeff Paul from 10up. The bit that catches my attention in this, though, is this bit, this one sentence. The team provides a central place to collaborate, share ideas, and build together. And then this bit, to quickly gather feedback and deliver real value without waiting for core release cycles. So it kind of sounds like they're going to push this as some sort of canonical plugin or something like that. Anyway, that's the news. I don't know if anybody wants to comment about this.
I was going to say, I have some inside information because I did a podcast with James LePage. If you go to withinwp.com/podcast, you can find it. It's the second to last. And in it, he basically shares. So most people connect this, oh, there's going to be a lot of AI inside of WordPress. That's not necessarily the case. The case is more about we're going to use AI to make WordPress as a project better, which might have an inclusion of a plugin, like it stated, and that plugin maybe allow some iterations faster and stuff like that. But I potentially think that might just be limited, in certainly in the beginning, to the AI services plugin that Felix created.
Yeah,
it's more like, how can we use AI to make the whole project better? For instance, pruning for bug reports, everything that's on track. If that's a manual task, that's a lot of hours. That's hours. So at a certain point, you kind of want to go, can we have this huge bucket of data, and can we do this smarter? Yes, you can, and AI is most certainly able to help us with that. So that's a example, and there's a whole bunch of examples he raised in the podcast.
When you spoke to James, then did you? Because from what you've just said, it sounds like the conversation pivoted around what can it do on the, like, to the project, not necessarily website and your website.
Correct.
Ah, interesting.
So the team is not necessarily just focused on AI integrations inside WordPress for everyone to use. That's also a discussion, which is why the AI services plugin that Felix has created most likely will become the featured plugin that they're going to start adding onto. But the AI team is absolutely not limited to just that. It's just everything that you can do on the project with AI.
That is interesting. So if you go to withinwp.com/podcast, you'll see an archive there. And currently it's the second one, but it's called The Future of AI for WordPress.org with James LePage. That is an interesting insight, because I kind of had the intuition, incorrectly it turns out, that the arrow really was pointing more at, I don't know, content creation and things like
that. No, that's probably the last thing they'll add.
Interesting.
If ever.
That will just be the domain of third-party plugins that hook up to, like, I don't know, ChatGPT's API or something.
I would
like
expect
that.
So. For those of you listening or reading, you don't know what the AI services plugin is. It is nothing more than a plugin that allows you to connect AI of your preference to your site in a unified way. Meaning, if you want to switch from Anthropic to ChatGPT, you can just by changing keys.
Thank you for that. Let me just pop this back on the screen. Here's another sentence which kind of resonated with me. So I'm just reading off the screen here from that blog post. It's essential that WordPress remains at the forefront. Okay, that's a given. Ensuring innovation happens in the open. I guess that's a given. How the heck do you figure this bit out, though? Guided by community values, and I guess built to core standards is quite easy, but the guided by community values, that'll be an interesting piece to...
This reads to me as for any interpretation possible.
Yeah.
I have no idea what this means.
Yeah, come on. Frank,
what are the community values?
Yeah, exactly.
Where have they been written down? Like, I don't know.
There is a broader core values of the WordPress project that's hiding somewhere on WordPress.org that you do technically tick a box that says you agree to abide by the core of the values of WordPress whenever you do anything to do with WordPress. So presumably they are the same values.
Let's just have a little look, because Tammy Lister's dropped into the comments. She's got a few things to say about this. First meeting was last week. I am guessing, Tammy, that you're talking about this AI team, because we haven't covered anything else off. James is one of the leads, I believe. James, I wonder which, you're not talking about yourself. So this is James Kemp, but I guess he's not talking about himself there. And Tammy, to reply to my comment, yes, it's Canonical at the heart of Foundation plugin. So Canonical, for those people that are listening, is kind of like a, it's almost like Core, but not Core. It's, and you know, you can opt in by installing this Canonical plugin, but the idea is it'll receive security updates and be updated as if it were a part of Core. And the areas are defined on Make. Thank you very much. As in there's more than one. Thank you, James, for clarifying that. Okay, interesting. And thank you for that, Rimkus. I had totally misunderstood what that team was all about. So I guess it makes more sense, given the four people that I mentioned on there, that they would be doing it that way. Anyway, do you want to add anything?
I was going to say, just think of it as big as you can possibly think of it, because it's a huge bucket of data that we have. And what would you do to make a bucket of data insightful? You would deploy anything automated as you can. And with MCPs in between and talking to different parts and communicating, having data communicated to other parts of the project, just all of these types of weird combinations are now a possibility. All will be worked up to being a possibility. It's very exciting. I don't remember the last time I got real excited by it. Make team.
Okay. All right. So you're saying that in your very kind of deadpan way, but what, like, which well, the, bit?
The fact that AI is on a project level made into a pivotal sub project. So the make team itself. So the quote you highlighted says basically we are focusing very strongly on AI now, which means we're not just looking at the side of everybody coming up with their own AI solutions and things and whatnot. No, we recognize AI is so important that we need to give it the highest of priorities, in terms of we need a make team that is fully, solely dedicated to looking at how we can use on a project level, on core level, on bug level, on whatever level you can think of, how do we implement that inside our project in a way that is, you know.
So it sounds like what you're really happy about is the fact that it has this high status now, and it's being treated with a level of seriousness that just a few weeks ago it wasn't apparent it would be. Even though Matt had sort of said, learn AI deeply, well, you were kind of on your own. Now there's a sort of focus for all those efforts. Okay, great. Tammy is also excited by the looks of it, very much in agreement with that excitement. Also, all roles, types of contributors should notice and get involved. So this is according to Tammy.
This is also a good example of a team where anybody can join. Like anybody. Just have ideas on what to do or what to connect or what to bridge. Join.
I just come in and moan like a Luddite and annoy everybody. go on, Beecher.
I would get more excited about it if the sustainability team had also been reinstated, because one of the various issues with AI is sustainability. And so it's a bit disappointing that this is great. I understand why it's great, but it would be nice if sustainability still were an issue, because it's not baked, just like accessibility, definitely not baked into everything we do. So, yeah, not that I'm, you know, any more sustainable than anyone else, but it would have been nice.
I find myself agreeing with Matt's reply at WordCamp Europe's fireside chat. Somebody basically had the same question, like, why isn't sustainability being re-added? But there's a couple of things conflated into one word, sustainability, that if you were to have them thrive in their best ability, should be separated. And to me, that makes a lot of sense, because sustainability on the one hand side for the project is something different on the sustainability for how we're using resources on a
and so you level. Scrap it, and so by scrapping it, it's better. Sorry, I don't get it. No, I honestly don't get it.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it makes more sense to have sustainability broken up in the chunks that are actually separately approachable than lumping everything into sustainability. Because the sustainability of a project is not necessarily the same type of sustainability in terms of resources used.
But so will there be someone looking after sustainability in every team? Is that what is being done? Because in that would be great. But otherwise...
I don't know that answer. I mean, all I know is that he specified why it's not the way it was.
Yeah, just to summarize for people who are sort of hearing that and not quite following it along. So we had a sustainability team which came into being, I want to say like 18 months ago, something like that, maybe it was a little bit more. And then a little while ago, that team was abandoned kind of very quickly. I don't think there was much preamble about that. And then a question was raised at the fireside chat that Remkes mentioned. And I think the hope was that at that point, maybe Matt would reconsider and put the sustainability team back, you know, give it a table, if you like, at WordCamp EU. Curiously, they did have a table at WordCamp EU. I don't know if anybody noticed that. There was a table for them with an official sort of set of, you know, cards, you know, stands. Basically, it was an official table, even though it didn't exist, which was kind of interesting. I wonder how that happened. But Matt pushed back and he said, if I remember rightly, forgive me if I'm wrong, I think he said it needed to be kind of data driven. You know, there needed to be metrics to show the sustainability team did this, 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 and this. And I think Matt's argument was we didn't see too much of that. Tammy, by the way, in answer to your question, Peacher, said it does. So she put some other stuff in. It doesn't mean that it won't be done in a non-sustainable way.
Of course. So
anything else?
And
oh yeah, here we go.
Tammy,
Patricia, Matt, and Mary said that sustainability should run across all the teams. I don't know quite how you manage.
But how do you, exactly? Is there if there's a person in every team that
let me read out Courtney's comment. She's got more to it than this. There's a little bit that goes off the screen. The sustainability team is modelled quite a bit. Is modelled quite a bit after the UN guidelines about what sustainable means, environmental, social, economic, were the areas scoped. What becomes of social and economic is how that comment went on. Okay, well, I think we went a little bit off piece there, so let me drag it back into the sort of AI domain. So that was the thing. We got this new team, we got four representatives at the moment, and I think if memory serves, at the moment, James LePage is going to run that until the team is sort of up and running. So if you've got any questions about AI in WordPress, they would be the people to reach out to. That post was called Announcing the Formation of the WordPress AI Team. So you can go and check that out. That's on wordpress.org/news, and it came out on the 27th of May. Okay. Right. Okay. So speaking of WordCamp EU, it happened. Here it is. And this was the event, and you know, lots of people attended. It was really great. I'm just gonna, you know, I've got a few things that I've got to get off my chest. First of all, and firstly, I decided that I was gonna go and have a few nice days prior to the event with a very nice chap. Well, at least I thought he was nice. He's called Mark Westgaard, and we decided to, you know, drive around, hire a car. And what have you, and I'm just going to show you some pictures of the kind of things that you get up to if you hang out with Mark Westgaard for too long. So 3 days, this is what I got to see.
This is Mark with all his friends?
Yeah, well, so here's Mark Westgaard. He has WS Form, which is a, you know, very popular form plugin. And what I learned about Mark was that basically he just likes to do support tickets. If you spend 3 days with him, you count yourself lucky to get 3 minutes with him, because he likes to just hang out by rivers, hang out by lakes, and you know, look, there he is. There's a good example of him carrying out doing a support ticket, and here's another one there. He decided to rather than talk to me, he thought it'd be nice to talk to a cow about his support ticket. Thanks for that, Mark. And then this one, you know, beautiful mountain pass that we went through. I just decided I'd take a picture of the nice mountains in the background. And look, lo and behold, he whips out his phone. He's answering support tickets. Same thing, another different view, magnificent, just straight on his phone, support tickets. You can't get a word in edgeways. Look, a different angle, another, you know, beautiful river down there in the bottom of the valley. One of the best scenes I've seen in my life, and he was answering support tickets. Even in the car, you know, you get like 10 seconds before, this is him whipping out his laptop. We had probably 12 seconds before this all happened. Out comes the laptop. I don't know if you can see in the background there, these beautiful mountain ranges and this little cafe. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there he is yet again. Mm-hmm. with his support tickets. Beautiful lake this time. I thought, let's change it up. Let's have a game of cards. So I set out the cards for us both. Got some drinks in. Beautiful lake in the background. What does he do? He's out with the support tickets there. So my one final gambit was, let's go on a boat trip. That didn't even work. And it's just his support tickets all the way. I hope you figured out I'm being sarcastic. Mark Westgaard and I had an absolutely fabulous time. But I did learn that if you have a WordPress plugin company that is successful, like WS Swarm is, you don't get away from the support tickets. I took hundreds of pictures. I cherry-picked the ones which made him look like he was wedded to his phone. There's absolutely loads of them. I got his permission, by the way, to share these pictures, but I thought that was quite funny at Mark's expense. Thank you, Mark. It was absolutely fabulous. You, Remkes, you always drive to these WordCamp Europes. I'm guessing you took in some similar scenery with your son.
I did.
Ah,
yeah,
beautiful.
There's like there's like 227 mountain passes, and I've made it my goal to cover them all.
Wow.
Oh, okay. There's one final one. Look, here we are. There's me, Dan, maybe Corey, Bob, Don, and Ollie there from hosting.com, and you can see that there he is. One last time. Just it was at this point I said sayonara, and whether we speak again or not, I don't know. But hopefully he enjoyed that. He said that it was absolutely fine. There he is. Look, it was a great 3 days. That's the comment I get. That was brilliant. Thank you, Mark. You're a good sport. I appreciate you letting me do that. It was an absolutely fabulous event. I think the bit that made me so impressed was the venue. The venue was absolutely enormous, and it was really, really great. I didn't get a chance personally to see too much in terms of the sessions because I always go and record podcasts, but hopefully if you you were there, you had an enjoyable event. Tim, no. Peacher, no. Wasn't for you this time around.
Too expensive.
Sadly
enough. Too hard to get to.
Yep, yep.
Well, so I already got stuck in Basel at the time of the, on my way back from Cloudfest, at the time of the Heathrow fire, so I was like, yeah.
And you've seen that, been there, done that. Yeah.
No, jokes apart, it's not because of that, obviously, but.
Next time. It was a really, really nice event, and it was a particularly, I enjoyed the city. I had a quick look around for a couple of days. It's going to be in Poland next time around. So if you
there is a direct flight from Leeds Bradford Airport.
I can actually
get there.
I'll be on
and come
I'll
back the same day.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. We could do it in a day. If you want to do one, just do a day.
There's one that goes early morning and then comes back late
in the evening.
No. And here we were.
Speaking of sustainable.
Making a sustainability in every part of the process.
It'll be AI driven. It'll be AI driven. Okay, so that was a bit of fun. I was just making light of it. It was very, very enjoyable, really cool event. Okay, so this is what you've all been waiting for. I know this is not particularly new news, and it's been covered everywhere else since the WordCamp EU announcement, but this is probably the biggest thing in WordPress in months and months, at least, anyway. I'm going to show on the screen the official release which came out of the Linux Foundation. I'm not entirely sure how all of these pieces hang together in terms of who runs what and where their sort of responsibility and what have you lies. But if you're in the WordPress space by now, I'm sure you've heard of this acronym, FAIR, FAIR, which is a package manager for WordPress. And I think the quickest way to describe it really is that it's a plugin which, if you install it on your WordPress website, then it replaces, that's even the wrong word. It sort of hijacks requests for plugin updates and searches for new plugins. And instead of going to WordPress.org, it goes, well, let's just say elsewhere. Don't know quite yet where the elsewhere is, but there's the idea being that there will, if you install the plugin, there won't be one source of where those packages can be found. So it would be a bit like on your iPhone, Paul kind of saying, we're going to allow other app stores. And of course, in the WordPress space for the longest period of time, we've had nothing like this. Obviously, you can go to wherever to download whichever plugin. Maybe there have been endeavors like this, but this certainly seems new to me.
Sorry, Nathan, can I just correct that?
Yeah, do please. Please.
In so much that the iPhone is a terrible analogy.
Okay.
Because an iPhone would be something like Craft CMS. That's an iPhone. That's an enclosed
enclosed ecosystem that is not open source. A better analogy would be Android, which you have like the Google Play Store, which you've had for many, many years. But just like WordPress is now getting another Play Store, but by a different sets of people and a way to federate and get access to those. And that happens in the Android ecosystem already. You can already go and you get your packages from somewhere completely different. So less iPhone, more Android.
Yeah, thank you. That was a worthy way of describing it. But the point being that you don't, if you install this plugin, you no longer need to visit WordPress.org if you want to get the packages, which you would traditionally do if you wanted free plugins and what have you. So I think the getting the Linux Foundation to, I'm going to use the word sponsor, but I'm not sure that's the right word, but in some way put their backing behind this felt like a bit of a coup. There are some fairly big names revolving around this project. I don't know if it shows them on here. Yeah, so here we go. So Karim Marucci, who is the CEO of Crowd Favorite, Joost de Valk, who, you know, we all know him from the Yoast platform, but now Amelia Capital. Tracy Hines from Fastly, which is the CDN, which I believe is responsible for kind of serving all this sort of stuff up. And then Chris, who's, forgive me, Chris, I actually don't know how to pronounce your name. And then Robin Bender-Ginn and a whole bunch of other people. Ryan McHugh comes to mind. Carrie Dills comes to mind. There's a whole load of other people. So there was quite a few heavy hitters. I will put in the show notes if you wish to download it. This is it. You can find the Package Manager project on GitHub. You can download it from there and what have you. And then also another supporting piece to this would be Ray Morey's piece in the repository, which is entitled The Community Response to FAIR, Hope, Skepticism, Support for Decentralized WordPress. Now, she makes the point at the top. She's taken, really, she wants to get into why was this even a thing? Why did people see the need to do this? And according to her, this all goes back to that moment where ACF, became, what did it become? Was it SCF, Secure Custom Fields? That moment then, essentially, when something unexpected happened and a plugin that everybody had been, you know, not everybody, but many people had been using for a long time, suddenly became a different thing altogether. And the people like Joost and Karim thinking, this is not sustainable, this needs to change. And so they developed this project. It feels like it was kind of done in the background a little bit, you know, kind of cloak and dagger so that the word didn't sort of slip out. And Matt got to respond to it. I don't know how much time he had to kind of think about it or learn about it or what have you. But on the face of it, he sort of seemed to say, well, it's nice that they're shipping code. That's better than just sort of bloviating and talking about it. So there's that. But then obviously the whole hard questions of, well, what does this mean going forwards now that we've got multiple repositories for plugins? How do we even manage that? What is safe? What's secure? How do we trust anything anymore if we've got this alternative repo and so on and so forth? So I feel really underqualified talking about this. So I think Remkes and Tim have probably got more of interest to say than me, but hopefully I did a fairly decent job in just sort of describing what's going on. So over to Tim or Remkes, I think, really.
Well, let's start off with the some of the initial thing was that what was it, how can we know what's safe? And that is a problem that we've had since the beginning, because not every plugin sits on the WordPress.org repository. Not every plugin on the WordPress.org repository is safe. Over the years, there have been numerous points where plugins have been taken over and abused, where someone's uploaded stuff deliberately to initially to be not malicious and then be malicious. There isn't a great deal of security sitting on the WordPress.org repo as it stands now. So we can't really use that as our high bar. We can say that we have very limited security across the board when it comes to package management generally. And that's before you're talking about premium plugins, plugins on GitHub, plugins from Joe's website. All of these are completely independent. At the moment, it is down to the user to navigate through this. And worse, navigate through this blindly without having any real way of saying, is this plugin good? Is this coming from a safe source? Is this coming from a trusted source? And especially when our only vaguely trusted source isn't really that trustworthy and hasn't been for a very long time. And it's, I would argue that Ray, it might have come to light for Ray with all the stuff with Matt last year, but this has been a problem for decades. This isn't a new thing. This is going from right on the beginning.
Can I just ask you, there's some drilling or somebody somewhere. I don't know if the person who's got the drilling, if you could just mute yourself, that'd be great. Thank you. Tim, can you describe then how does this endeavor fare? How does it add that? I'm going to use the word trust in air quotes. I don't really know what that is. What's the bit that they're adding in that enables that?
Well, a lot of it's future promises and hope that those things are going to be added in. Currently, as it stands, it's just providing a mechanism to swap out your repositories and say, I want things from here. Now, there is ideas for, like, you'd be able to have federated. So you could say, I accept things. So you've got this idea of the repositories. These are the places that are storing stuff. And then an aggregator, which is like a search engine, for want of a better thing, that they will sit there and put through and be able to. So you'll be able to use the aggregator to search, and it will be able to tell you where the individual packages are. They're using some fancy back-end protocol stuff, which is based loosely around the Blue Sky stuff. I say loosely, the protocol for how you identify the end packet, where the end package actually is, uses Blue Sky's DID protocol. But ultimately, that package can be still swapped over. If that endpoint isn't controlled or maintained, then that can be swapped over by a bad actor. So we still don't have a level of real trust. What we ultimately want to get to is a point where we can have lots of federated aggregators and lots of federated repositories, and then we can start creating some sort of trustworthiness where we can say, these people trust these people over here. I trust these people, therefore I can trust these things further down the chain.
So what, there would be a component of usability, like users declaring their own level of confidence in things. Is that a stated goal?
That is, as I believe, one of the stated goals is that you'll be able to pick your aggregators, and the aggregators will pick the repositories that they're going to basically act as a search engine for. So you'll be able to say, well, so in theory, I could spin up an aggregator that could be Tim's aggregated services, and therefore I can control and say, right, I will select what plugins will be available through my aggregated service. So that you could then just log in and go, okay, I want to use Tim's recommendations and Tim's setup. A hosting company can set up as an aggregator with their own setup, but also a hosting company can set up as a repository, set of repositories, so that you can and consume plugins in the same similar way. Then you've got your premium plugins, which in theory can be hosted back with their original place, and they can be part of this network, just brought in. And so you can, in theory, you should end up with a nice unified system where you'll be able to look and go, I trust these repositories. This aggregator is deciding what I see and what I don't. And then WordPress.org can become one of many. And that's sort of what we've got in the very basic versions we got now. It's just swapping out WordPress.org for AspirePress, who I felt were really hard done by in all of this, because AspirePress has done loads of work to get virtually all the plugins that are on WordPress repository onto AspirePress, backed by Fastly, and they got shafted by this announcement. They have like two lines in the entire thing, so I felt really sorry for them. But ultimately, if you imagine a scenario where you have a dozen hosting companies and they're each providing mirrors effectively for the WordPress.org, what's on WordPress.org, and then you've got aggregators in the middle who get to pick and choose what plugins they're going to present and how, and you build out a mechanism of trust around this so that if one of the nodes goes bad, then you can go, okay, well, we no longer trust this node, so we won't accept things and bits coming from there.
So
that's the ultimate goal, I believe.
Yeah, okay, that's really fascinating. So you've opened up a load of stuff. So the first thing that will be of interest, I think, to just the regular user of WordPress is that it can have paid plugins. So that whole thing of WordPress.org is everything's free over there. You have to go and find the website or wherever it may be for the premium plugins. It will be the intention at some point is that these nodes, as you call it, they will be able to package in, let's say, I don't know, in the case of Mark, we were talking about him a minute ago, WS Form. He's got a free version and he's got a paid version. There may be an opportunity to sell, for want of a better word, certainly distribute the paid version in some of these repositories. So that's really interesting for end users.
Certainly they can publish an end
publish.
Node point.
Right.
So they effectively can publish an end node point that you could go and retrieve that data from. How they would then handle things like, well, okay, we're a paid product. Do we want people to be able to just go and grab that data out? How they would do that, I don't know. But in theory, everybody is able to publish a plugin up and give it, and through this DID protocol, you can then give it like a permanently named space that can be then grabbed inside and used for to pull to a node, which then can be pulled by an aggregator. There's a lot of steps involved in all of this.
Yeah. The thing is, if you install it, my understanding is that basically, currently, you might be forgiven for thinking you've done nothing, right? You like, it looks basically the same. There's not much in the UI to sort of give away. Very much mirroring what is there at the moment. And I guess for obvious reasons, they are literally mirroring what's there at the moment. But one of the things that you just said was the opportunity for example, hosting companies to add this as a layer into their platform. That gives me 50% happiness and 50% worry, because I kind of worry that also a hosting company might kind of not give you the choices that you would like to be able to. Do you know what I mean? Can you see a future in which a hosting company might want to give you their version of all the things with their stuff promoted to the top and all the ads and rah, 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 all of that?
I mean, you could quite easily argue that we already live in that world.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hosting companies can at the moment mirror WordPress.org in their own hosting infrastructure.
Okay. Yeah.
They can fiddle with the search results. Not many of them do. Some do, though. And if you're being really cynical and pointing out that Automattic is a huge hosting company, they fiddle with the results. They choose, they WordPress.org highlights plugins that are in competition with others that are particularly Automattic's plugins, and they get higher privileges. There is no rhyme or reason to some of the featured plugins that appear at the top of the results. And the research results, as Cynic could say, have been gamed many a time by them. So if they're not doing that, they certainly already have the ability to do so. So, and hosting companies have the ability to do so. I remember working for a hosting company and working out how we would just remove from the search results plugins which we knew would break our platform.
Okay, right. There's a really nice example of when it's useful, but you can
and
see.
Like, you know, we actually ultimately went with putting a warning on the search result rather than totally blocking it. But I can totally see somebody going, especially for a larger hosting company, where if, I don't know, my stupid plugin breaks your hosting, you might go, well, we just don't want my stupid plugin on here. Being able to, at the moment, it's fiddly and hard to fix that. You would have to do either change, look at what results are coming back and change them or whatever, whereas in the future, you may be able to run your aggregator and say, well, actually, we're just not accepting that plugin.
Gosh, there's a lot in there. Okay, thank you for that.
It's
really
very technical.
Yeah, we're going to say very technical, yeah.
Very clever, and I've given a version that is a lovely, rosy future. That future relies on so much happening, and it misses out so much of the stuff like, how do we moderate this? How do we stop bad actors putting stuff on there? How do we make sure that the nodes are reliable? How do we make sure that the aggregators are reliable? How do we make it easy for people to add new aggregators into them? All of this sort of stuff isn't there at the moment. So this is a lot. They've got a lot of the foundational stuff that's really good. But even the idea of federated, how things being federated, is only sort of there in principle. As I say, if you install the plugin today, what you get is Aspire Press wrapped up in the FAIR plugin.
My understanding also is that if something were to go wrong with the implementation at the moment, it kind of steps out of the way, if you know what I mean. So let's say that AspirePress goes down, it would then default back to WordPress.org. And so even in the case of things sort of falling to pieces, you would still be able to get your updates. I'm not entirely sure if
I
that's...
I don't actually know if the plugin does fall back to WordPress.org.
Okay, I heard those words come out of somebody's mouth, but I'm not sure if that's done.
Yeah, I said it may well then do so. But in future, you may be able to select several repositories, your aggregator may have several of the backend nodes attached to it, which are acting effectively as mirrors. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, everything at the end goes back to this unique addresses right at the far end of all of this.
So let's just reprise all of that, because there's a lot to take in. Essentially, it's a swap out for WordPress.org. Then there's going to be a whole range of possibilities, like you've described, premium plugins, being able to, you know, have it as a completely unique marketplace, having some kind of indicator for, I'm going to use the word authenticity. That's probably the wrong word, but credibility, something along those lines. Those kind of cues. So basically, the field is open. It really can be anything that you like. We're on version one. I don't know, Tim, I'm going to put you on the spot. From what you've seen so far, obviously it's very technical. Do you think it's been done well, in air quotes?
I mean, they have chosen to go down their own route. Honestly, it would have probably been with the Linux Foundation, actually, Linux world is full of package managers. There are a gabillion of them. Obviously, within PHP, we have things like Composer and similar things. They've very much chosen to go down a very different, unique route that was designed around content management systems in general. I think Courtney Spurring comment in there that's about the fact that this was designed to go outside of WordPress as well. I feel like that was sort of edged in later. I don't think that was the original intention, but I may be wrong. They have made a lot of rods for their own backs. And the complexity is going to be the biggest problem, because people have to understand what you're talking about and understand how it all works. And the way you do that is through not really detailed, complicated protocols and big documents. It's through easy and simple explanations. And the one thing they haven't managed to do is make it really simple explanations of what not at a human level, what it's about and how it should be used and what the future can look like. I would have loved to have seen a website, proper explanations, and a really good mission statement of not what this is trying to solve, but what it can show, what the future can be with it.
Okay,
because what you're trying to solve, nobody outside of a very small group of people, including me, I care about it, but outside of a very small group of people care. So you need to take that and go, well, okay, these few people might install it, but once we get past those 100 people, how are we going to get the rest of the people on? This is me now pontificating. There's a huge part of me that wishes they'd taken another few months, done this launch in September, had a couple of hosting companies standing behind them saying, we're ready to act as part of this process, had a decent website in place, had soft launched a little bit more. You could have still had AspirePress do their launch at WordCamp Europe, but there's obviously other timings and other things were needed to be done. Clearly there was some pressure that meant that it had to be launched then. So it is a little bit of a shame that it was launched quite so haphazardly and without a really positive message. I mean, if we come with a really positive message of showing a amazing future, which it can be, then I think they're going to now struggle to get that traction, because people are going to go, oh yeah, it's the thing that Yoast did. And that was the other thing. It's very confusing who, even though Ryan, Carrie and Mika are steering it in the technical level, you've then got Yoast and Carrium, and then you've got the Linux Foundation, then you've got AspirePress, and then you've got Fastly. It's like there's so many names floating around. It's like you spend more time telling people who these people are than you are telling them, this is a really cool thing. This could be a really cool thing. Let's do this really cool thing.
Oh, gosh, that was a lot. Thank you for going through that, though, Tim. Firstly, apologies if my mic sounds awful. Remkes has put a little note in the comments to say that my mic might be playing up. If it is still, sorry, it's selected correctly. So if it's dreadful, I apologize. We'll just kind of keep going. Right, Remkes, there was a lot there, and I know that you've got thoughts on this. Do you want to just drop your bits and pieces that I know you've got to say?
I don't think I have actually much to add, because Tim was pretty complete.
I would just say that I've noticed the change of t-shirt. That's kind of that's what? Very nicely done. I wish I could. He's like Batman. Superman. He just he's got the other t-shirt on. That's great.
It sounds promising, but there's too many questions for me still.
I think the biggest question mark for me is not around it. It's whether or not it gains popularity. I wonder if this is one of those things where the anticipation, when I heard about it, I thought it was going to cause real, like, proper eruptions.
I suspect the team has been in talks with hosting companies and other whatever.
Okay, for
quite a while. I don't think they would have announced this now if there were no talks.
Okay. So maybe it'll have growth through your other channels, not word of mouth.
I think so.
Yeah.
You always have that problem that if you it's the chicken and the egg, no hosting company is going to come and stand behind you without a product there. But the product can't get adoption until a hosting company or someone big comes and stands behind you. So eventually you have to step out into the light and hope that someone is behind you. And if they're not, you're going to look silly. So I'm really hopeful that we will see the announcements. I also suspect that there is at least one large hosting company that probably would say they are, but they definitely can't be the first ones for political reasons.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so it's definitely an evolving story. One of the things to mention then is there was a lot of thought about it. There was a lot of talk at WordCamp EU about what this would mean. It seems to be much more calm a few days afterwards than I kind of anticipated maybe it would be, having heard the initial story. I thought it was going to be much more seismic, but it seems to have gotten quite quiet quite quickly. Let's just go through a few of the comments. So we've got Courtney Robertson, who's been, I think it's fair to say, instrumental in describing this project and perhaps in the background as well. Let's just go through a few of the bits and pieces. So Lauren said, the announcement affair also shows how PR is done. So you mean that in a positive light, do you, Lawrence? You thought that they kind of knocked it out of the park with like coordination and making many things happen at the same time, because it did feel like lots of stories landed at the exact same moment, like lots of the WordPress publishing media and things all seemed to have their docs in a row, so ready to hit publish at the same time. So here we go. Courtney, Karim and Juice. I don't know why I want to say Juice all of a sudden. I never get that wrong. And Yoast announced Fair in their blog post in December. But also, as people fear for their jobs, many chose to remain anonymous. Okay,
you should pronounce Kareem's name correctly as well.
Go on,
Kareem.
Kareem.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Karim.
And you said Marucci, which isn't. It's Marucci. Yeah. Sorry, Nathan. We're on your case today. Sorry.
I deserve it. You know, bring it on. Every time I get a name wrong, just jump on me. I deserve it. So here's Brandon, whose surname I'm not going to try and pronounce after that mauling.
it's not Brandon. It's Brandon.
Oh, no. This is going to be the ongoing theme for this episode, I think. Now, didn't go to the alt event on the waiting list, but I heard you can still go and they'll let you in. It's been and gone. I'm not sure I kind of understand what the tenor of that question. I'm not sure. So Lawrence is bringing the point that the WP project cancelled the media core. So that's interesting. Maybe there are sort of certain channels that could have kind of provided some coverage of that. Some registered people didn't show up, so others could get in. Okay. So at you, Tim, from Courtney Fair, we'll use the... I think Courtney... said this, and then you actually coincidentally, I think, said it a moment later, uses the Blue Sky AT protocol, DID, yeah, which is an acronym.
The DIDs are like the individual identifiers.
So is that the way that you, across federated nodes, for want of a better word, you can identify that's the same thing as that one, even though they might have slightly different names or whatever it may be?
Yeah, it's the unique identifier. Okay, there are different ways to do it, whether you want, you can do it via like effectively a namespaced thing, or you can do it as an actual URL. But if you do it as an actual URL, then you have a problem that the URL might change. Say you move from GitLab to GitHub, then the URL might
change.
So this is a way to avoid that.
So Patricia, I've missed a few out because they were probably to do with the timing of what was being said at that moment. I like the feeling of old SourceForge plus decentralization, a la Fediverse, review types a la TripAdvisor, unless I misunderstood something. Yeah, that was kind of where I got to as well. The TripAdvisor bit being, you know, you've got like 800 people that say that's a good thing. So you kind of have some sense that that's a good thing to do,
because we know that TripAdvisor never gets gamed in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, there's
a just check. Oh, well, there's top restaurant in Miami, McDonald's.
So, would that then be an inevitable consequence of something like this? You know, if you decentralize all this, are people going to game it? Would there be some economic incentive to game?
If you can game something, it will be gamed.
Yeah. That's
But you, WordPress.org is gamed all the time. And
okay,
the team support forum team in particular, I spend so much time dealing with sock puppets, which are basically where people make fake accounts to create 5-star reviews and set things to download a million times to try and increase download counts. This sort of stuff happens all the time. A good moderation layer should help that. And it is nice that the FAIR project has started saying, well, what are we going to do about moderation? How are we going to moderate this? How are we going to moderate this across not just one server, but lots of them? But ultimately, there has to be a level of trust, and we have to work out what trust means. And trust can't necessarily mean 50,000 people like this, because 50,000 people probably don't exist. They're probably bots.
Do you know, this is kind of going to be, I think, how this story develops for me, is A, does it get adoption? Do people actually start to use it? But B, do people start to game it? I think because I have a non-technical understanding of it, and people like you are explaining it to me, I'm trying to get a grip on it. That layer is going to be of more interest to me, whether it gets adopted and whether it gets gained and therefore trusted. This comment, though, is kind of interesting. I hadn't picked this up at all. So Courtney says, FAIR also in the future could support package managing beyond WordPress. So it's not necessarily bound to WordPress. It could be for a decentralized...
Just like Gutenberg is currently in Drupal.
Okay. All right.
But in all seriousness, it could. This is the idea. Somebody like Drupal might want to adopt it, or somebody like Umbraco might want to adopt it and use it for their distribution of how they deploy their equivalents, their modules and add-ons.
I really hope that you said Umbraco incorrectly.
Never said it out loud. I have no idea if I did.
I feel so vindicated. The WP coder, hello. The Aspire Press has a suite of tools, the Aspire Cloud, the API, Aspire Update, the plugin for end user, Aspire Explorer, the repository. I'm guessing this is in response to Tim saying that he thought Aspire Press didn't get the credit it maybe ought to have done in that scenario. Tim, you must be fierce at chess. Okay.
Kitten. I don't know what that means.
If a hosting provider smells they could save bandwidth and money, they will go for it, says Dave.
And
does a hosting provider not have unlimited bandwidth?
No. Hosting providers are quite often paying quite for their bandwidth. But a big thing for this is why you'll find that in the Linux world, Linux packages are often, if you go and look at where Linux packages mirrors are, they're hosting companies. And the reason, because if you can get your packages locally and then distribute internally, those packages, you save yourself a small fortune. For most hosts, they have to rely on the three big backbone providers, and they are often monitored.
and it's metered access. We're still talking packages that are ridiculously large compared to your like commercial line, your sort of like home residential line. But yeah, they're metered, and for stuff like updates is a really good place where they could make a saving. So it could well be worth their while to be running a localized repository so that they can then distribute internally, where obviously they, if they own their own infrastructure, that's not going to cost them to run through net internally if they're only having to pull the package once over their third party provider's transit. So if they have to go to Cogent every time and get these packages down, and Cogent's metering them, then it's going to be expensive.
I hope that everybody that's been listening to this is able to wear the tinfoil hat, because I think it's fairly difficult to understand all of this, isn't it? There's like the top layer, what it might be for the
definitely
community.
For me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. To be honest, Peach,
I'm listening very, very intently.
Yeah,
because we're lucky we have such clever friends.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I'm listening to it from the point of view of how would I use it? Would the community be fragmented by it? Will people be able to game it? Will there be trust of it? Will it, I'm going to air quotes, destroy what we've already got? I don't mean the word destroy. You know, will it amend? Let's go with that. What we've already got, would it? I don't know. I just think it's really, really fascinating, and probably one of the most disruptive things that I've seen in certainly several years.
The funny
years.
Thing is, if it's done right, no one's going to notice.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fascinating? All this stuff.
Ultimately, the average person should, if it's done right, will never know.
Yeah, I did.
Sign up to their hosting package. Let's say they join Bob's host. Bob's host happens to be where they might have a local node, and they might be mirroring a bunch of plugins that they commonly use. They won't mirror all of them because they infinite hard drives are not a thing yet, but they'll mirror quite a lot of them. There's a speed performance there. And then, from your perspective, you type into, I need to add a plugin. Okay, I'll just go to add plugins. Oh, I'll type in a search. I'll just hit install. I'll hit activate. For the average consumer, they won't have a clue that anything's changed.
Thank you, Tim. There's just one last thing I'm going to drop in just before we move on from this one, because we're kind of fast running out of time. I think it's fair to say that the community that have gathered around this have done a lot of work in terms of governance of this project and trying to communicate that there will be kind of like rotating leadership. I want to say that. Courtney, again, if you could help me out in the comments, that would be great. But the intention being that there will be no single figurehead, for want of a better word. I think that's part of the project as well. And we've not really touched on that because we've been talking about how it technically works, but I think that's probably a big part of it as well. Checks and balances, I think, have been made so that there's a panel of people. And I guess it needs to launch with a panel in order to launch, because you're not going to get anywhere unless somebody takes the helm for a bit. But my understanding is that that will be a moving feast in the future. So, Peacher, Remkes, Tim, anything you want to add to that before we move on? Nice. I'll just put one other thing in, just because it's probably worth mentioning, and that is to say that it isn't really a pushback, but Aaron Jorbin, who is an automatician, I want to say, I think that's right, he wrote a piece just the other day when the project had launched, and it says some initial questions about FAIR. So it's on the 9th of June, and he congratulates the team, and then he has some fairly technical questions about how it's implemented, what might happen in certain scenarios. Again, probably beyond the purview of this. But interestingly, no sooner had he written it than Ryan McHugh, who is one of the people very much tied to the project at launch, came in and offered what he hoped would be the appropriate answers. And in some cases, it was more a question of we're figuring this out as well. So definitely worth going to check that piece out. Aaron Jorbin. .com. Again, all these links will be in the show notes. Okay, very quickly, I'll just mention this and then we'll move on. There's a new post on the WordPress developer blog, What's New for Developers in June 2025, as usual. Justin Tadlock does a great job of sort of explaining all of the different bits and pieces that have been falling. I did want to mention a few of them, but I actually want to move to this one because time is constraining us. Back to AI. I didn't even know this was a thing. I didn't even know that LLMs and the way that they scrape the internet was different to how, air quotes, Googlebot does it. My assumption would be that the LLMs were going around scraping stuff and sort of storing it in the way that Google does. But reading this article, it feels like it's different. It feels like if you do a query, which I think more and more people are doing, they're sort of forgetting the search engine and they're going more to the AI agent to get an answer to a question. It feels like that the LLM agents are kind of just doing the work at the moment that you ask the question. So rather than Google having a cache and you type in your question and it serves up the, I don't know, 10, 20 best results based upon what it's got stored, this is going out and spidering at that moment in time. I'm probably misphrasing it, but anyway, that then requires a different approach. And Yoast have come, the company Yoast, have come up with this idea of LLMS.txt. It may not be their idea.
I don't think they came up with it.
Thank you.
They did not.
Thank you. That's great to know.
And if you go to LLMSText.org, you can actually see the actual standard.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. I kind of assumed that they hadn't, but also I hadn't read elsewhere of anybody else doing it. So this is an attempt to make your website smarter and almost, if you like, serve up to the LLM the summary of what your, let's say, blog post is about so that it can get a handle on it. Because apparently it doesn't go from top to bottom and read it all and cache it all. It sort of picks bits here and there. I don't know how it does that. But this is a feature which is now dropping into the Yoast SEO plugin. And I'm kind of feeling that this is probably going to be half the battle in the future, figuring out what to serve up to LLMs so that they've got an understanding of roughly what the article is about. So I thought that was interesting. Again, I don't have the technical expertise to discuss it, but if any of you feel you want to jump into that, now's the moment.
Just as a slight aside, that if you have over the last few months found that your website is becoming more and more unstable, you can thank your local LLMs for that. Increasingly, my day-to-day job seems to be coming along to sites which I'm being told are being DDoSed, and to arrive and go, no, ChatGPT wants to talk to you, or Claude wants to talk to you, and they have basically, like many things to do with AI, when they move fast and break things, they move fast, and a lot of the AI tools do not obey things like your robots.txt file. So it is, if we can convince, this project is great, but you need to convince the people, the Claudes and ChatGPT and all the other all the companies behind them to actually use these. And at the moment, as far as I'm aware, this standard is just like a proposed standard for like, please come and look over here, rather than an actual, it's not being actually used by any of the companies behind the actual AI models themselves.
So we're at kind of a moment in time where it feels almost like they're taking your website down a little bit, making it less effective because they're doing all this because they don't know how to do it correctly. And if people
don't care.
Right, okay.
Because obviously from their point of view, they're not there to scrape. They need to get the return, the information back as quickly as possible. So if that means that they have to spawn a dozen processes, then they'll spawn a dozen processes. If that's going to knock out your filters, so be it. The problem comes that quite often the way to deal with that is that site owners will start blocking text, and then you end up in a scenario where Amazon is ending up using residential VPNs to scrape your site, and you're like, come on, that's not on. But that goes more beyond this particular thing into just general behavior of these AI companies. Comes back to this idea that getting them to obey the rules, or rather the conventions, I should say, that we had about the web. And we always had bad bots. We've always had them. And some people who don't obey the conventions of how websites should work don't listen to robots.txt. I just think that this is not going to be as useful as it appears on the face of it unless they actually follow through and actually even read the, or worse, they're going to read the file, go, brilliant, you've given me the information, I'm going to go and do this and look for this other stuff over here.
Okay.
And just...
All right. Well, interesting. Thank you. You've educated me on how it works, because I just assumed, A, it was a Yoast thing, but also, B, that, it was to do with just sort of serving up the content that is specifically what you wanted them to deploy once they'd given their answer. But maybe it's not as simple as that. Anyway, it's there. It's in the Yoast plugin. Don't know if it's on the free version or the paid version, but there's a toggle, and you can have that set up in a heartbeat. So, all right, very quickly, what else can we do quickly? Let's do this one. It's hotting up in the e-commerce space in WordPress. What do we got? We got WooCommerce, we got NorthCommerce, we got Shortcut, which has been just killing it recently. And then there's this. It's called FluentCart. It doesn't exist at the minute, but I'm sure that if you're in the WordPress space, you've probably come across this company. They're responsible for lots and lots of things. Fluent CRM, Fluent Forms, a bunch, honestly, a whole ton of other stuff. And there's this, they're going to drop a cart solution. It seems, if we go down, scroll down a little bit, I don't actually know if it's on this page, I might be misrepresenting it, but I saw somewhere a table where they compared it kind of feature for feature against Shortcut. So maybe that's the target that they're aiming at. But the big gambit is that it's all in your WordPress website, because Shortcut, my understanding is there's a component of that which is SaaS-based. So things are sort of phoning into their SaaS and what have you. All of this is going to be done in your WordPress website. For good or ill, that's the way that they've decided to do it. There's a wait list. So if you want to go there, it's fluentcart.com. And you can join the wait list. I don't suppose anybody's got anything they want to add to that. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. No,
I can say a couple of things if you want.
Yeah, please.
I don't have to.
No, I'd like you to.
Yes. So I find this really interesting, because whenever I need to sell something for one reason or another, I am still like really always, and Tim knows, because I often moan about it and ask people. And I, on one hand, I really do hope that this is the answer. On the other hand, I have Fluent CRM and Fluent Forms. And I've been waiting for a while for certain things that I consider basic to kind of improve. And what it slightly concerns me is when a company comes up with always new products instead of like getting one or two really, 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 really the best that they can be, rather than coming out with another super shiny object. And I'm saying this kind of even slightly in spite of myself, because I really hope, because I used to use Thrivecart, which was great in many ways, and now it's a bit of a dumpster fire and I don't use it anymore. So on one hand, I really wish that this is, because I also use Shortcut. I know exactly what works and what doesn't for me, not for everyone, but for me with Shortcut. So I think that there's still space for finally a product that does things and that's easy to use, which Shortcut is not. The first time that you enter it, you go, okay, clearly you did not hire a UX designer for this. So I'm hoping that FluentCart is the answer, but at the same time, yeah, that would be, without having seen anything about it, that would be my main worry that, yeah.
They are without a doubt a company with a ton of products. If you go to their, I think they're called WP Managed Ninja. That's their kind of parent company. Yeah. If you go to their website, they have a laundry list of maybe a dozen. Maybe it's not quite as much as that.
No, I think it is. I think it's 11. Well, if it's not 12, it's over 10.
And all of them do a lot, right? They're not like tiny little things. They all do, well, certainly the most recent ones have done a lot. So yeah, it's an interesting point, Peter. Maybe they're getting overstretched. However, what a market. If you capture, boy.
Because they're really, honestly, there isn't yet, the right solution is not there yet. And I'm wondering, is it accessible? There's a few questions that I'm asking myself. But if it is all the things that it says it is, then it's great. Patricia said,
she says that they've got a team per product. Okay, so maybe they swell their team, grow their team as they get a new product. Well, let's see.
I mean, I've been with Fluent CRM for at least 2 years now, and they're still not doing, I mean, in a way I'm okay with it because it just simplifies my email marketing. I'm like, yeah, okay, let's make it as simple as possible. But it's still lacking really things that are really, really basic in most CRMs. And like 2 years since I bought it, I would have expected for that to have happened. So, okay. But at the same time, here's, I won't leave. It's
in
fine,
which case, obviously. As the final piece for today, there were several more things that I wanted to show, but we are going to run out of time. This will be the last one. Sorry, Remkes. Okay, we'll do another one if it's necessary. This, I just thought this was interesting. Nothing to do with WordPress. I just love this idea. It's called Scrappy. Scrappy is like a SaaS service, for want of a better word, where you go and make basically really ugly little apps for you and your pals. That is literally how the pitch is. For you, your family, your pals, you just, it's, if it's simple but you can't achieve it, maybe you can achieve it with Scrappy. It'll never look good, but if it's just trying to figure out, I don't know, who, how to split the bill or what weight you need to lose through your exercise regimen or something like that, Scrappy is an interesting idea. And then you can share it with a little cohort, and it's not supposed to be big and take over the world. It's just for you and your family and your close group of friends, which I just thought was a really interesting idea. Right, Remkes, sorry, what was it I missed?
I think you need to add /edit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. That is true.
Yes.
Right. Okay, hold on. Where is it gone? Here? No, not that one. Yeah, here we go. So this came out of a Dubious newsletter, which is dropped every Friday.
Oh, really? Which one?
I think it's called... what was it called? It's Remkes' newsletter. We spoke about it some moments ago. And this is one of the little nuggets, which I really thought was cool. Tell us what it does, Remkes. Dead simple.
It's that simple. It adds... whatever it says, it adds a /edit to every single post, page, category, tag, whatever you have on your WordPress site. So instead of having to log in and do all those things, you can just be on the URL you want to change in, change something in, and you just add /edit, and it works. It's a gem of a plugin, which is why I featured it.
Yeah, it does one tiny thing, but does it really well. Are you like me? I would far rather amend the URL for more or less anything than actually use the UI. You know, if I can figure out that it's /edit, I remember using Drupal back in the day, and that was basically the best way to get around almost every part of the CMS was to modify the URL. And I kind of miss that in WordPress. It would be quite nice if stuff like this was more widely deployed. So if you're on a post, you just add, you know, whatever the slug ends with, you just add /edit. And if you're logged in, you get to edit it. And if you're not logged in, you are asked to log in and then you edit it.
Correct.
Nice.
Cannot be simpler. Cannot be sweeter.
Yeah. Well, it could be. It could be /E. That would be easier.
Ronald, are you listening? This is...
Is it right? Okay, Ronald, ignore that suggestion. It was a bad idea. Don't do that. Stick with what you've got. It's brilliant. I was only joking. With that, I think that's it. I think that's everything we've got time for. We're actually overrunning already, so apologies about that. I guess it was always going to happen. We had this one big story, which was going to dominate. I apologize if we just overdid it. But there you go.
Right, this is not safe, right? This is safe.
This one is safe in the UK. Yep. The other one is not. So you're going to do the other one, aren't you? Yes, of course you are. Yeah. So there we go. Thank you to you. If you were in the comments, that certainly livened it all up. Really appreciate that. There's quite a few of you in today. Thank you. And I guess it just remains for me to say thank you to Tim. Thank you to Remkes. Thank you to Peacher for joining us today. We'll put this out as an audio podcast tomorrow. And all things being equal, we should be back next week for another episode. You never know. But now, it's that moment. The humiliating. Oh, he's, go on. Here he goes. Yeah, no, do it. Go on. That'll be... I won't be able to capture that. There we go. Right. Thank you so much. We will see you next week. If you panelists want to stick around for a bit of a natter, that would be nice. But if not, I will see you very soon. Take it easy. Bye. Bye. Bye.